here. It's Grace. We're here just at the end of last year. I think the middle of December, we were on holiday up this way in Langs Beach. And so we came and joined you in here as well. And at the same time, I think Doug and Julia and Mac and Gwenda, you were visiting our church down in Tauranga. And I love what they said. Both of them just said, similar DNA, because we love coming here. This is similar DNA. There's a family atmosphere here in this church, which we love. And we're going to today be looking at some scriptures and that, but just to say that God's highest ideal is family. Do you realize that? His highest ideal. You know, the thing that he particularly desires is family. And so we're going to develop some of that today as we look at that. And we're going to look at the whole area of we are a people of purpose. We really are. We're a people of purpose. God has designed us with purpose. We are here. We're not here by accident. We're not here by chance. It makes no difference. You know, doesn't make any difference the consequences or the situations of your birth and your conception and whatever else. It makes no difference how we wound up here on earth. God intended that we should be here. And so he will take advantage of every situation, regardless of our backgrounds. He wants to bring us into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And out of that fullness, then that life is to be demonstrated wherever we go, wherever we are. Life is to flow through us. And I like the word that just recently I've heard people using a lot is the word intentionality. I'm not sure that it's even in the bio and in the dictionary. Have you heard people use the word intentionality? Yeah. Intentional or intentionality. It simply means that God is intentional about your life. It simply means that God has purpose. We're not here just drifting from one day to the next, from one week to the next, and before we know it, the years have gone by, and we've drifted from year to year, and we haven't seemingly achieved much. God has got purpose, and if we can plug into those purposes, then we'll find just wonderful things that God has for each one of us, and we live our lives in a different way than we would than if we were just living for our jobs, living for our children, living for our families, living for our situations. We are here to live for God. And so I'm very much aware that the days in which we live are speeding up, they are accelerating. We read the Bible, and I thought some of the things I'd read there, I thought, oh, well, you know, they're a few decades away or whatever. I reckon God is speeding things up incredibly. And his return is much more imminent than what we ever thought. Those are my thoughts anyway on the subject. And so God wants us to be a people who are not simply just absorbed knowledge. We're not here just to be informed. We're actually here to be transformed. Because the only way we're going to make a difference on earth is if our lives have been transformed in Jesus Christ. For too long, I think the church has been built around informing people of what the Bible is about, but not so much of transforming lives. Jesus didn't say, go and make a bunch of converts. He didn't say, go and teach them all of this fancy stuff. He said, go and make disciples. And I think God is very intentional today about disciples. I think God is very intentional about what's happening in your life and in mine. I think he has got tremendous purpose for us. And if we don't lay hold of that and latch hold of that like we should, I think that the situations that we find ourselves in, we'll find ourselves progressively in situations that we cannot handle if we just have knowledge. But if we've allowed our lives to be transformed, we'll find ourselves in situations that may not necessarily be easy, but in those situations, we will find God with us. He has prepared us. He has changed us. Our hearts are different. Our thinking is different. We realize that God really intended that we should be the head and not the tail. We're not here to get battered around by life's circumstances. Life's circumstances may come against us, but we are here to take authority in those circumstances and see the life of Christ powerfully flowing through us. So I want to talk today about people of purpose and talk a bit about God's original intention when he created us as human beings. And of course, we're going to go right back to the beginning. If we want to find out what God intended, we're going right back to Genesis. So it's all there. We can just read it from there. You can get your Bibles out as well if you want. But in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, the Lord said, "Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness." Don't you like that whole aspect? Right from the very beginning, God was revealing that he is three in one, that he is Father, he is Son, he is Holy Spirit. And so let us make him man in our image. If God was just one, he would say, "Let me make man in my image." And so we know that the three members of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are vitally important, every one of them, in the realms of our lives. And, you know, we don't have time to talk about that today, but there's just amazing situations that God wants to take us through and develop and show us that the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father all have incredible realms of input specifically to come into our lives. So the Lord then said, "Let them have dominion." This is the man he's making. "Let them have dominion." Dominion means complete authority over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God has purpose with everything that he does. He has purpose. He purposefully created Adam. And then from Adam, he took Eve out of Adam's side and created a woman who would stand equally alongside him. You know, they used to say, didn't take Eve from Adam's foot so Adam could tread on her. Didn't take Eve from Adam's head so that she could rule over him. You know, they were created equal. And so often what happens, you know, you look over, particularly in church circles sometimes, they have this impression that God is male, and therefore the males are the ones who are going to rule and reign, and they're the ones. And often church life has been a bit like that. But you realize God is male and female. You know that, don't you? If God said, "Let us make male and female after our image," every feminine quality that you ladies have has come from God, just like every male quality has. And I think that as we come and with intentionality towards the end of the age in which we live, we're going to see there is a restoration of women into their rightful place. There's a restoration of men into their rightful place. God has intentional, very much so, in what he's doing and what he has created and what he wants to achieve through our lives. So God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth." So that was what God intended right at the very beginning, that we should, as we've already said, that man should have dominion. We should have authority. We should have authority in Christ. And through that authority, we then bring into the earth God's purposes. So God created Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden, and then God said, "Go out over the earth, multiply, use the authority that I have given you, bring it under my dominion," which of course God is love. And so out of that is going to be a loving headship, a loving rulership that God is going to bring through his people. And we know, of course, that unfortunately sin has marred that. Sin has interfered with God's purposes. But it never hindered his original intention. Do you understand that today? That sin has never interfered. It may have interfered, but it's never hindered his original intention. That intention remains and stays. And so what we have at the end of the age, through all of the way that God has been restoring and building his church, at the end of the age, we're going to see men, women, children, we're going to see God's purpose is coming back the way that he originally intended that they should. And so we find then that God didn't wring his hands and he didn't say, "Oh, dear me, what are we going to do now? This man's gone and sinned." As we know, Jesus was slain from before the foundations of the world. So God in his wisdom, the great mystery is that Jesus, ever before God created the worlds, Jesus had already been set aside as the one who had shed his blood. He's the one who had paid the price for sin. Jesus is the one that was all done. It was all prepared and set for us. And so what we find is that, is that little graph, or we got, is that next? Yeah. Okay. So what we find is that, see, with Adam and Eve in the garden, remember, God put them in the garden. They were perfect. They hadn't sinned. They were not yet mature, because do you know how God matures us? He matures us through testing and trial and difficulties. Because in those trials and difficulties, we are challenged with what choices we're going to make in those situations. And so Adam and Eve, you know, God wanted them to grow to maturity. And on the timeline, it's like they set out on that pathway, but when they sinned, they plummeted off this graph line, which is building and growing them towards maturity. So that got hindered. Sin hindered the purposes of God. But like we said, Jesus had already been set aside for the sin of the world. And so through the cross of Jesus Christ, if we think of humanity growing towards Christ-likeness, see, that is the goal for each one of us. We are to grow to be like Jesus Christ. And so on this timeline then, the sin issue has been dealt with. Jesus Christ has already done that. He's taken away the sin that would mar us from growing into maturity. And so that Christ-likeness then, step by step, we're becoming more like Jesus Christ, aren't we? You remember last week, last month, last year, when you used to get angry and you used to, yell at your wife and kick the cat, or the other way around, you know, whatever ways we might respond to frustrating circumstances in our lives. As we move on in Jesus Christ, what we are doing is learning to appropriate and lay hold of his nature, his character. So growing in us is the very life of Christ. We are growing to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And God always intended that we should. That is the mark of maturity, is being like Jesus. So I know that, I don't know what some of your background was and some of your teaching. Like Jeff said, we've been pastoring now for 33 years, and I actually have the distinction, if it's that or whatever, I'm the longest serving pastor in Tauranga. Not the oldest. I don't think so. No, I think there are others older than me. Yeah. It's no such thing as retiring, is there, in Jesus Christ? Refiring, yeah. Refiring. No such thing as retiring. And we've been saved for 45 years. And I remember some of the teaching that we had in our early days as Christians. And the whole attitude in those days was, well, we can't help ourselves. We really, we'll always be sinners. We have been sinners. Jesus has saved us from our sin, past tense. But there was always this attitude, oh, well, look around you and you see if you can find anyone who isn't sinning, who's holy and perfect and all of that. There isn't anyone. So therefore, the conclusion was drawn that we would always just have to take hold of a mentality that said, we will never be any different. We will always stumble and fall. We'll always be marred, you know. We'll never come into the place that Christ clearly states in the Bible that we shall. And so they developed a mentality that centered around their own experience. Instead of a mentality that was based upon the truth of God's word. And we know that our past sins have been dealt with when we came to Jesus Christ. We know that the steps that we take from then on, it doesn't mean we can't fail. It doesn't mean that we cannot sin. But what it does mean is that we choose not to. You know, we don't have to be people who are forever stumbling.
Because like that whole attitude was, oh well, you know, that's life, really. You know, we're never going to get any better than that. And see, that is incredibly wrong teaching. I don't know what teaching you guys have had up here, but I know that was really, you know, that was something that we was very much part of our early stages, our early growth. And then we began to understand as we went on and we heard others teaching and saying that we are destined for something more than this. We are not destined to be crawling around in the dust all our days. And people would, you know, we'd hear preachers preach saying, you know, we're all just sinners. You know, we're just rotten sinners, and we're just waiting for Jesus to pluck us out of here so that we escape this terrible world that we're in. What a load of! Right. God has got intention and purpose for our lives, and His purpose is that we be like Jesus Christ. And when we say that we are not sinners anymore, we're not saying we can't sin. We're saying that we will not sin. In other words, we set ourselves to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. And the more we grow in our relationship with Him, the more we are going to be people who want to please Him. The more that we understand, the more revelation we have of Him, the more that we know of how much He loves us, the more that we know how much He's done for us, the more, the greater and the greater the desire to please Him in everything that we do. And so we're growing. We're growing in this whole aspect of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, growing to be more like Him. And so when we think about this, when we talk about people of purpose, I think there are four things that I see in those verses anyway. There may be more, but there's four things there that we need to think about, because God designed us. He made us people of authority. He made us people of faith. He made us people of action. And so when we come back on this pathway of Christ, when the sin question has been dealt with, then we're back on the pathway of His intention and His purpose that He had for us all the way along. And so we also understand that when we get back on this pathway, remember when Adam and Eve sinned, God sent them out of the Garden of Eden. He said, lest they partake of the tree of life and they live forever in that state. So death was actually a means of dealing with that because of the sin question and the sin attitude. And so God sent them away, put an angel, flaming angel with a flaming sword at the gate so they couldn't get back. But when we come to Jesus Christ again, when we accept Him, guess what? We are now back again with access to the tree of life, because Jesus is the tree of life. So we have access again. It's like God, this is part of the restoration of God bringing us back to that fullness that He originally intended. So Jesus is the tree of life, and we get to feed from Him now, don't we? That's why Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, which we've been doing symbolically here. I know some believe that's real. I believe that's symbolism, because it just shows that, you know, if that was all there was to eating his flesh and drinking His blood, that means that we'd have to be doing that continually all day long. Whereas by the Spirit of God, we now have His life flowing within us. So we have that life flowing fullness. And when we come to communion, we are affirming and confirming what Christ has done for us, which is wonderful to do. We need to be reminded of that, you know, all that Jesus Christ has done for us through His death on the cross and through His wonderful substitution. He took our place. So it's glorious. So then we're people of design. And of course, there's many, many hours of teaching and all of that. So we're not going to be doing that today. But we are going to be talking about people of design. Remember, we are created in God's image. And sometimes we think about that. We know that we're spirit, soul, and body. We know that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all those aspects of His design of us is linked totally and completely in Him being our Father, Him being the Son, Him being the Holy Spirit. Those aspects that are in our lives today. And so we take hold of that life and being created in his image, sometimes we just think, well, you know, that means that we are to grow to be like him, which is true, which is Christ-likeness. So we are growing in character and in nature to be like God. So as we grow in his character and his nature, we could think, oh, well, maybe that's all there is to it. But there isn't. There's much more than that. If we're going to be Christ-like, we have to be as he is, and we have to do as he does. You realize I'm using present tense, not past tense. He's still doing it, isn't he, today? What he did on earth, he's still doing today. He does it through his people. So we are being as he is. We are doing as he does. Present tense, his life flowing through us. And so God created us with purpose. It's intentional in all that he has done. Say to the person next door to you, only God knows why he created you. And it depends on the emphasis we put on that, doesn't it, eh? Where we're saying that in a negative light or a positive light, yeah. But it's positive. God knows exactly why he created you. God knows exactly why he put you in the place you're in and the family you're in and the locality you're in, because he had design on your life. He knows exactly what he wants for you. And each and every one of us are to fulfill that design. Yes, he does. Your names are engraved on the palms of his hands. So, as we say, God must have big hands. So many of us. But what this year for us, each year we just seek God and get a theme for the year that we're in. And for us this year, our theme is unity in diversity. Now, what that means is that we have been, last year, God really put on our hearts, and I taught a lot and others did as well, on unity and what that means to be unified, what that means to grow together and be truly have a revelation, a greater revelation of who we are in Christ. But God never intended that it should be uniformity. You're not supposed to be like me, and I'm not supposed to be like you. And whether you say thank God or I say thank God, it's still true. You are unique. You are special. God has created you the way that you are, with your personality, your giftings, your calling, your work that he's called you to do. You are special and you are unique to do that work. I can't do yours. You can't do mine. And so unity and diversity, God firstly growing with that real understanding. We really are united as one. But God never intended that we should be the same. So diversity simply means that we are unified in the spirit together, growing together as a body in Tauranga. And the diversity is we are completely unique. We have gifts. We have callings. We've got personality. We've got everything that's just particularly special to us. So that makes us diverse. And so then we express the life of Christ. Each one of us expresses that life differently from somebody else. And that's okay to do that. You know what religiosity tries to do? Religion tries to make us the same. Tries to make us conform. It's always outward conformity. And like I said, I know when we were in our early days, Christian days, you know, it was much more about outward conformity than it was about inward design and purpose in God. We had to conform. And so, you know, it had to do with what you wore and what you didn't wear. Ladies, how long your hair was, how short your skirts were. I mean, you can name a million and one things that are all outward expression that were intended to try and make people holy. They thought that they could make people holy by making people conform on the outside. Holiness never starts on the outside. Holiness starts on the inside. Holiness comes from an attitude and a desire that says, oh, Jesus, we love you with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. We love you, Lord, and we want to do all that's pleasing to you. And the Lord sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. So no longer is a set of rules, do this, don't do that. No longer is any rules that are written for us to follow. Now The Holy Spirit writes it on our hearts. So that whatever situation we find ourselves in, we come into, if we're starting to do something that's wrong, that little voice on the inside gives us the nudge. Don't do that. And what may be right for me may be wrong for you. So I can't judge with what you do as compared with what I do. God may give you total freedom to go and do something that he says to me, no, I don't want you doing that. Because that's his mark of holiness for me, not for you. So if we are that sensitive to the Spirit of God, then we're really going to be listening, because it's out of our own developed relationship with him, we find out what is pleasing to him. And then our holiness is just simply living to please him. No set of rules. Because those rules are already living on the inside. They're living and part of us. They're not just words written on a page or words stamped into a stone tablet or something. You know, this is living reality of Christ's life within us and us longing to please him in every way. Yeah, Jens is saying, instead of thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that, it's like, oh God, it's turned around. God, we want to please. We're not just stopping something because, you know, we're afraid of someone else catching us out or whatever it is, you know. Whoa, you call yourself a Christian and you do that, you know. That has so often been the attitude in the body of Christ. It's time for that to change. It's time for it to be all about relationship. And it's time for us to be in a living, loving relationship with Christ. And we are all together. Is it? I love the DNA you have, family, here. And what family does, family doesn't berate one another. Family doesn't chew out one another. Family doesn't, you know, get angry about what others do or don't do. What family does is work alongside one another and encourage and build and grow and finds the words or the expressions they're going to help someone else who may be struggling with what they're going through. So clearly then, God's intention for each one of us has always been to mirror his image, his nature, his character, his purposes, his thoughts, his ways are to be expressed through us. Just as Jesus Christ was the image of the Father, so we are to be the image of Jesus. Remember Jesus said to Philip, he said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How confident are you to say to someone else, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus? How confident? So what we've got to learn to do is learn to have both, you know, if those are areas that are obviously wrong, then we need to learn to change that. But also we need to learn to live in confidence of who we are in Christ. Confidence, so that if we know that our relationship and our heart is always to please him, we're not going to be doing things intentionally that would be wrong. No, I know that's what they say. So what we've got to learn to do is not to be condemned by the things they would say about us, because they're not walking with Christ. So they don't understand what Christ's doing in our lives. Yeah. So how confident are you to say to one another? Yes. How confident are you to say, if you see me, you see Jesus? See, it's true. Yeah. That's right. We're living a life that reveals him, and like passing on is like to the next generation or to others, you know, people that are coming into the Lord. Yeah. See, we should be confident enough to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. And we're not being stupid or silly about this. We're just simply saying that it's his life that is within us. And I mean, you can say to me now, and I can say to you, consciously right now, I'm not doing anything that I am personally aware of that's displeasing to the Lord. That doesn't mean to say in the next half hour I won't, but right now, I'm saying that I'm confident that I'm expressing the life of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I can say to you, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't aspects of my life that still need developments, but the snapshot you've got right now, it's like taking a photo of me now. That snapshot you have right now, you're seeing Jesus. That's it. And that's exactly. And if we always keep that attitude towards the Lord, then step by step, we're growing in that. So that this year, we're doing less things that would be displeasing to the Lord than what we were doing last year, you know? That's what it's about, isn't it? Doing more things that are pleasing. So in other words, we are aligning ourselves with God's intentions, His intentionality. We're not trying to set up a bunch of rules or a bunch of things that condemn us and bring us down. We are setting our hearts and lives on Him who is full of life, full of faith, full of hope, full of mercy, full of grace, full of love. That's how we live our lives. And it doesn't just, I mean, it's something we have to daily, we keep working at, you know. It's that daily, just every day, coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, we love you. God, we want what you want. Holy Spirit's here. His express purpose is to make us like Jesus. So every time we say that, Holy Spirit hears that, and He just works in us. And He continues to develop us and grow us in the most amazing ways. Okay, so let's just look at some scriptures then. Now, all of those, today we were really only going to do number one, people of design. As I said, there's so much in all of this. But just looking at the design aspect, and we see here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said, now He, Jesus, is the exact likeness of the unseen God. We just talked about that. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. So if He's the firstborn, there are many that are going to be born after Him and many that are going to come to be like Him. And so if we come to Romans in chapter 8, let's come to Romans chapter 8, and this is out of the New King James, we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Can we flick up the next scripture? I think we've got the one there that's the Living Bible. Oh, it's not there. Okay. I'll just read to you what the Living Bible says for that. It says, is it? Oh, okay. And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. I love that little phrase. If we love God and are fitting into His plans. So we're saying, using that scripture, all things work together for good. We love God. And those are called according to His purpose means that God has purposely, intentionally got things that are mapped out for our lives. And so that means that if we love Him, and we are fitting into His purposes, then all things work together for good. And like I said before, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to be on the pathway leading towards that. We're not trying to come to some place of perfection and saying that, oh, you know, nothing's ever going to work for good because we haven't achieved this level of perfection. It is never like that. Each step that we take is another step on the pathway to that maturity in Jesus Christ. And so if we know that consciously we love God and consciously we are doing, as far as we are aware, we're not doing anything that would be against His will for our lives, then everything works together for good. I often hear people use that scripture, all things work together for good, but they have no understanding of the conditions that are there for that scripture to be true for us. And if we do know that, if we do know that in our relationship, we're doing all that we can possibly do with the power and the help of the Spirit of God in our lives to be pleasing to Him, then no matter what happens, doesn't matter what catastrophic thing might happen to us, it doesn't matter what difficulties, it doesn't matter what is occurring in our lives, we know that God is using that for some way for good in our lives, even if we don't understand it right now. Sometimes people go through all manner of sickness or difficulties or tragedies, and you know, we think, oh God, this is terrible. How could you let this happen? How could this be occurring to this person in this life? There's some things that we just simply find difficult to understand. But if we will trust Him in those circumstances, and if we are living a life pleasing to Him, then we know that those very circumstances are going to develop something in our lives which is necessary and which is essential if we're going to fulfill all that He has for us. It brings us into another level of thinking. It brings us into this attitude that God, You are the Lord of all. If we say Jesus is Lord of our lives, if we say, Lord, You are ruling over my life, if we say, Lord, You have Your way in every single circumstance and situation in my life, then what are we doing complaining at Him when things don't go the way we expected? He is Lord. And so that lordship then, and then it goes on to, so we're called according to His purpose. We know that. For whom He foreknew, and in this other version it says, having chosen us, He called us to come to Him. And when we came, He declared us not guilty through His own blood. Because we came seeking repentance. He cleansed us of sin. He filled us with Christ's goodness, gave us right standing with Himself, and promised us His glory. So whom He foreknew, He knew us. Ever before these worlds were created, He knew that you would be here today. He knew that you would choose Him. I love this little expression. God knows what we will choose, but He does not make our choices for us. You think about that. Because God knows everything, doesn't He? He knows your every thought. He knows your what you will do. He knows what choices you will make. But He actually doesn't make those choices for you. Because usually in the midst of choices that we have to make, particularly if it's a choice to do what pleases God and something else that pleases ourselves, guess what? We're in a battle over those things, aren't we? Has anyone else just gone, just blithely, that's an old word, isn't it? Anyone just gone merrily through life? Oh, just choosing the right things and there's no difficulties and there's no problems. No. Yeah, wakey, wakey. So we have, you know, the Lord encouraging us and bringing us through to make decisions that are right, correct for us. And we have an enemy who's determined to try and shut us down and stop us choosing to please God. Because every time we choose to please God, His life is within us, then we have that life that we then express to others. His rivers of living water flood and fill our lives. And so He knew us before the worlds were created. He called us to come. We came to Him. That means what destiny. God sets our destiny. And that destiny is to be conformed to the image of the Son, which is to be like Him. And we're in that process of being changed to be like Him. So if we come to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 18, we are being transformed. I think someone quoted that scripture this morning somewhere. With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we haven't quoted the scripture before, but verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Or another version of that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is Lord. And He is Lord just as much as the Father and the Son, isn't He? God is one, He's three in one. So where the Spirit is Lord, in other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who lives within us. So when we are agreeing with Him, we're walking in ways that please our God, then the Holy Spirit is there working in us, through us, and where we are allowing Him, listening to him, being obedient, where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty and there's freedom. And so our lives are filled with that liberty and that freedom. And so we're being transformed by that same Spirit into the same image from glory to glory. So we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I don't know if I've done this with you before. I haven't got a mirror here. I should have brought a mirror. Just assume that something is a mirror. Say this is a mirror, and you're looking in the mirror. Who do you see? You see? That's right. You see yourself, don't you? So the wonderful thing about that scripture is he didn't say, beholding as through a window the glory of the Lord. See, if he said, beholding as through a window the glory, we would have known that the glory is coming from outside there somewhere. But he says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So where's the glory coming from? Out of the midst of us. Christ living within you, he is the glory of God. And so that glory then is we are being transformed from one degree to another because of the glory which is growing within us. That same glory which is part of our lives. And so that fullness, that glory that he has intended for us, is the whole purpose is that we become like Jesus Christ. His glory is seen in our lives. We are the ones who are exhibiting this wonderful nature, this wonderful life in every circumstance and situation that we find ourselves. So in your workplace, in your family, in your street, with your neighbors, you are demonstrating this glorious, wonderful life of Jesus Christ, because God placed you there purposefully to be light in your circumstance and in your situation. So today, as we think about that, you know, we think about his glory. We think about the life that he's given to us. We think about what he intends. Then we realize that God wants us filled to overflowing with him, so that his life is freely expressed. And the way we do that, of course, is every day we just keep directing our thoughts onto him. Instead of just thinking about work, instead of just thinking about family. I mean, those things are legitimate and right, but as we purposefully, again, intentionality, we just keep directing our thoughts and our minds all of the time to the Lord. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, our thoughts are upon him. We're thinking about what pleases him. We just keep directing that back and back and back to him all the time until it becomes the nature, our nature to do it. And that is what the new nature is all about. The new nature in Christ is about our thoughts, our life, our actions, our words, all being centered around Jesus Christ. So that step by step, we come to be like Jesus, who said, I only do those things I see my Father doing. I only speak those things I hear my Father speaking. Doesn't that sound wonderful? But you, every single one of you, have that same mandate, or you have that same purpose of God for you to be doing that, just like I do. So what we do is we encourage one another towards that. We encourage one another of how we can better represent Christ. We encourage one another how we can better express the life that he's given to us. And so that flows out of us, and then there are many other things we know. You know, we lay hands on the sick, they recover. We know that, you know, we have authority to cast out demons. We know that we preach the gospel, every single one of us, which is simply a sharing good news with others. So everyone has that authority upon their lives. And so today, I really felt that we needed to lay that foundation. I'm sure you've had teaching on it, but just to lay it afresh and realize God has designed, God has purpose. He intentionally has chosen you. You have responded to him. Now he is intentionally, step by step, making you like Jesus Christ, so that all over the earth, the purposes of God are being fulfilled. You know, I remember when Jesus said, he's speaking to his disciples, he said, these same works you shall do, and greater works than these. Is that a challenge to you? Yeah, that's a challenge to me too. That is a challenge, but I know that that's true. Jesus doesn't speak empty words. Jesus does not speak words that will not be fulfilled. He is the truth. If he says that same word, then we are the ones that have to lay hold of that, and we are the ones that have to determine that is going to function in my life. God, you've chosen me intentionally. I intentionally now choose to lay hold of you so that all that you are can fill my life and that I can be like Christ on this earth. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for your life, your purposes. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've chosen each and every one of us. God, we thank you that we're not misfits. We're not afterthoughts. Father, we haven't missed the bus. God, Lord, we are right where you intend that we should be. And so, Father, today, for this lovely family of God that's here at Wellsford, Father, we pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit flooding, filling, and overflowing each and every life. So that, God, that the express purpose that you have for them, the express way that you want each one to demonstrate your life, Lord, they are growing in that. Father, may it continue. May it increase. Father, may every obstacle or hindrance in their life, power of God, come, Lord, and remove those obstacles. Father, as they face those challenges and move through into all that you have for them. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your glorious life and purposes now with this people. In Jesus' name. Amen.